sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 170. I believe you Anglophones say 170, Jesus Christ. Revenge of the Lunatic, Part 3. And it goes a little something like this. Recognize game when it smacks you. Bitch, I'm back to rip. Putting this on the map with this Mac King shit. You know, I'm going to repeat that. It sounds better the way Pac recited it. The flow goes. Recognize game when it smacks you, bitch. I'm back to rip. Putting this on the map with this Mac King shit. It sounds better that way. No, okay. Time will tell. If it's made well. Well, I raise hell and excel because it pays well. Jordan couldn't dunk it any harder. Pump it any farther. I'm funky. That's word to the father. Act like you know, for I thump the bolo. Thought you was a pimp. Now you're simping for my solo. Oh, no. Not another new jack. Swearing that he's ruthless. Duck, now he's fucked left toothless. Ouch. I can hear the fear in your flow. You ain't prepared. You're scared and you're bound to go. It's something, I guess I let a beat keep bumping. Stop tripping off these niggas because they ain't about nothing. Or should I say Nathan? Punk put my tape in it. Fuck all the fake in. Oh my God. All right, P-Buck. I'm sick of the bullshit. Come equip and get ready to rip or get the dick of the lunatic. Grew up. Hold on a second. All right, okay. Before I continue. Yeah, that wonderful poetry that I just recited in this three-part series of Revenge of the Lunatic was the third verse in Tupac's rhyme, The Lunatic. And I will elaborate on this choice of title and song lyric that I just recited. But before I do that, I want to start with welcome. Bienvenue. I am not episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lenoir. All right. I'm giggling because I love pronouncing that name. But before I start the show, I'm going to raise the volume in my headphones here because I'm not, you know, kids, don't use a, hold on, oh no, kids, don't use, I think it was a bad idea using noise-canceling headphones because, there we go. All right, where was I? Yes, before I continue on with the show, I need to let you people know that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. In other words, it's protected by the red, the black, and the green. And in collaboration with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, rouge et bleu, rouge et bleu, rouge et bleu. All right. I represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to the question, are you an outcast? I also represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on May 8th, 2024. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. All right, you know, I just practice makes perfect. Shout out to those of you who are returning listeners and noticed a slight difference in my intro. And I noticed that when I don't bother with the sound effects, the flow of the intro sounds better. All right. Now, hey, you know what? Just to establish for regarding the intro, let's get housekeeping out the way. Let me get the welcome you new listeners, and just to help you get familiarized with this podcast. What I like to do is I like to break down my episodes into three parts, acts, if you will. The first act is the intro. Second act is news and random thoughts, and the last act is final thoughts. Okay. Now in the intro, which is what I'm doing now, so far in the intro, what I've done is what you've heard is the theme song, the title of today's episode, some poetry, which both the title and the poetry will all come together in the final thought. And then, and this is the part that I feel that I need to adjust, everything afterwards, after the greeting in my AKA, was meant to help you give an idea of the kind of podcast, the kind of show, the kind of content you're about to consume. Now, being that this is a new podcast, okay, granted I'm at episode 170, but I'm still growing. I'm still figuring out. Hold on a second. Sorry about that. I just had to turn off the air purifier because I realized that was some. I don't know if you heard that. If you didn't, shout out to my microphone. Where was I? Yeah, so I'm still on a journey to figuring out what I'm trying to do, what kind of podcast this is. Now, speaking of journey, segueing to journey, I'm realizing while listening to some Kendrick Lamar, no, that's not true. That's not true. I got to credit my therapist for this, is the journey I'm on, or what I'm hoping you and I have in common is we're all, and that we can relate to, is being on this journey of healing, if that makes sense, right? Now, hurt people hurt people. I get it. I mean, not just I get it, but it's a fact. Hurt people hurt people. Sometimes you hurt others, and sometimes you hurt yourself. And that's what I mean by healing, as to being being on a journey to be one less hurt person on earth. Oh my God, holy shit, I got to write this shit down, folks. So, all this to say, in the intro, what you should hear is this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. I have several thoughts, you know, I think a lot, but the thoughts that I'm focused on is about healing, all right? And if you're on that journey, then you and I have something in common. So again, speaking to new people, so that last message was for everybody, not just for new people. Now getting back to new people, in the intro, so I've covered what I've done so far, and two other things that I like to do in my intro before I transition to the next act. Is it transition? Is that the word? I move to the next act. English is my second language. And by the way, that's going to be my excuse for every time I say something wrong or inappropriate, whatever. Right. So, before I do is I like to read off quotes. And in particular, I got, okay. You guys are blessed with four quotes. Excuse me. And these quotes, you know what's funny, is they were inspired by things that happened to me today, thoughts that happened to me today. So first one goes, I do have three quotes. I'm looking at my notes here. And the first part was I put a note to talk about this podcast, how this podcast is healing and a healing journey. And I'm still defining that. All right, so the next three quote goes, first one is by Talam AC, the legendary godfather of of spoken word, Talamé C. This quote is, I might be paraphrasing. I remember hearing him say this on one of his poems, and I can't remember the title, but that there's a line that stuck to me, and it goes, whether you see my wings or my horns depends on your disposition. Whether you see me, the way I interpret that is whether you see me as a good person or a bad person, it all comes down to, it all comes down to you. I wonder if I should elaborate on that one. You know what? No, I'm going to save that for a final thought if it inspires me. Second one is, okay, this is probably, this is a verse from Kendrick Lamar's song, Mother I Sober. And he goes, I'm sensitive. I feel everything. I feel everybody. One man standing on two words, heal everybody. My God. Okay, yeah. The part he says about healing is what reminded me. Sorry, what in conjunction to something, that line in conjunction to something my therapist was telling me, was saying to me, healing. The magic word, I said, okay, F is probably brought to you by the letter F, but the word of the day or the word for this podcast is healing. And the last quote, okay, this one is a little longer, and it goes, it's by Eckhart Tolle, also inspired by something Kendrick Lamar said on his album, on the same album of Mother I Sober. And he goes, the pain body, bear with me, the pain body, which is the dark shadow cast by the ego, is actually afraid of light of your consciousness. It is afraid of being found out. Its survival depends on your unconscious identification with it. Oh my God. As well as your unconscious fear of facing the pain that lives in you. But if you don't face it, if you don't bring it to light or your consciousness into the pain, you will be forced to relive it again and again. Oh my God. Sorry, this is the second time I read it, and it hit me stronger now. I'm like, oh, I know what she's saying. Hit me stronger than the first time I read it and the first time I heard it explained on Kendrick Lamar album. All right, where are we? Okay, all right, fuck the time, man. All right, I'll elaborate on this. Okay, so with all that said, boys and girls, we've completed the first act, and now we're jumping to the second act. All right? Okay, let's all do this. Here we go. I'm feeling good. All right, okay, before I start, I'm gonna elaborate with. I was just thinking of two things, right? I'm kind of smacking myself on the fingers for this. All right, so I did it again, boys and girls. I did it again. I got to my desk. What is it? 7:24. Did I mention it's a Wednesday, so it's a work week, right? My intention was when I got off from work, I said, don't fuck around. Don't even eat. Just go straight to your studio and record this goddamn podcast so you can check out the Three Guys On podcast. Like I'd like to be done by 7:30 so I can check out their podcast. And boys and girls, I started recording at around 7:30. What happened is... I don't know, man. It's kind of like, I find like, it's the same bad habit I have when I go to the gym. Sometimes I like drag myself to the gym and realizing that it just increases the risk that I change my mind about going to the gym. Like in the subconscious of my mind, I don't want to do this. Don't get me wrong. I love recording this podcast, but that fear of hit and stop. Hold on. Let me make sure I hit record. hit and stop. And then being, yo, that was a shitty podcast. What the fuck, man? That was a shitty. You forgot to do this. You forgot to do that. And yeah, basically, holy shit. Go figure. I have a fear of my negative self-talk. That motherfucker is what causes me of being like, what you recorded was not perfect. Now, I'm considering maybe I should write a time about, okay, Do or Die, record by this time on Friday, on Wednesdays, and this time on Sundays. Because, by the way, those are my two recording times. And stick to that schedule. Maybe that might be it. Okay. Now, maybe that might be it. But until then, until I work this out, you're probably going to be hearing me bitch about, that's my process, right? You're going to, for a few episodes, you might hear me bitch about how, fuck, man, holy shit, it's now midnight. I was at my desk at 6, watched a bit of porn, and now took a nap, and now I'm recording, whatever. And then, so, who knows? I'm saying maybe that might be the solution. And shout out all you people who have your act together who are yelling at me or saying, what you just fucking do it? What you gotta fucking think about it? I'm like, yeah, you know what? I wish I was a perfect human being like you. All right, okay. Where was I? Okay, so yeah, so I got that rant out of the way. Shame on you, B. Shame on you. All right? Okay. All right. But maybe I should praise myself for showing up to the gym. And by gym, I mean hitting record. Second point I feel the need to say is I'm very self-conscious about, no, I have this thing about, I don't like recording too long. I hate long recordings. Let me put it this way. That's exactly it. That's just an analogy, perfect analogy. I wish I was like a Catholic priest. Holy shit, kid, that came out wrong. Not the diddle little kids part, but I wish I could do it like the Catholics. You show up to church. Or is it mass? They call it mass, whatever, right? Whatever. My point is, they are very conscious of time. They are mindful of time. I'm told like their services are like an hour and a half. I'm like, what the fuck? How is that possible? All right. I wish I could do it like, I wish I was like the Catholics. But instead, I'm like a, like the Baptists or fucking one of those religions where the Holy Spirit comes in and you don't know when that motherfucker's leaving. What I'm saying is I don't like recording for too long. I get disappointed. I get angry at myself for recording too long. I start thinking about my inability to get to the point. I say inability, but how I need to practice to get to the point. But I'm saying, I guess what I'm trying to say is, and that's another reason why, I for all these constraints against myself. All this to say, you know what? I think that's what's going to happen. Okay. Another thing that I'm practicing is being more patient with myself. All right. So I guess what I'm trying to say, heads up, this is going to be a Baptist moment. Like, usually my intros are less than 10 minutes and I know that like I'm 16 minutes in. And so what I'm saying is, look, I'll understand those of you who are dedicated to listening to my episodes. I understand if you listen to this in parts, but I am, but speaking to myself, I'm going to say I'm allowing myself to be a Baptist preacher, to be one of those preachers. So, so if you're planning on seeing the football game later, fuck it. But my favorite episode is when, my favorite episodes is when I do it like the Catholics. Stick to the time. Like, if this was a speech, but whatever. Especially on a fucking Wednesday. But okay, but whatever. I'm just saying I got a lot of thoughts today that I need to share. And I can't make promises. I am not going to stress myself on time. I mean, I'm not going to purposely take more time than I need. But I'm just saying today's episode is going to be a journey. Again, lots of thoughts. But what I will do is, I tell you what, is I will, see, usually when I do my episodes is I talk about random thoughts, is I talk about links that I've collected since the last episode. But something today, there was moments, there's personal events that happened that I need to talk about and I feel like it's an episode. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to invest more time in those personal thoughts than I am in those links. All right? You with me? All right. Okay. So let's go. We have a show. All right. Step one. This one is personal. My Twitter account was recently banned. Suspended. And, yo, dude, I was... You know what? It's kind of funny. I guess the punchline is it was... I get a message saying, hey, your account was suspended. No explanation as to why. And I won't lie, man. And I'm a fucking hip. I went from being the guy who's like, man, fuck Elon Musk, to being like, Elon, why don't you like me? What did I say? Is it the something? Was it interpreted as, hold on, I wasn't being anti-Semitic. I just don't like genocide. What the fuck? You know what I mean? Oh my God. I was. Felt like a whore. I'm like, I'm sorry, man. Okay, on your knees. Or whatever. All right, so my account got suspended. And I've been tweeting a lot from my personal B Blizzak account. And okay, needless to say, because of my hurt feelings, I took it as a rejection. I replied back and being like, yo, okay, look, I have no idea why my account is suspended. What's that about? I just asked why, you know, I just needed an explanation. I was hoping to get why, and then hit send, and I was convinced that I wasn't going to get a reply. 3 days later, I get the reply being like, saying, okay, it's funny how they said, okay, your account has been restored, and then they're like, don't do that shit again. And I'm like, what shit? And because they gave you a reason below, it's like, you know, reasons why your account can be suspended. I'm like, spamming people, but basically doing a whole bunch of shit that, holy fuck, I've never done that. What? Burn crosses on someone's lawn? What the fuck? That's not me. Anyway, so I get the feeling that, I don't know, the algorithm, the AI, whatever, however, the algorithm made a mistake, flagged me, and this was an exercise to confirm, okay, we are talking to a human being. I'm imagining things. Like, you know, I won't lie, I'm a little shook that this shit happens again, but long story short, between the last episode and to this episode, between episode 169 and 170, my account was suspended and it's unsuspended. And that's the thing. I joked about how when it got suspended, I was like, bye, Elon. But when I was restored, I was like, yeah, holy fuck. Damn, I'm sensitive. Sorry. I'm laughing because once it was restored, I was like, shook. I'm like, yeah, I'm not, no talking shit about Elon. I'm not even going to like any post that talk bad about Elon. I fucking hate the guy. Anyway. But it was like, you know, not that I think that I'm in his radar. What I'm saying is, it's funny how I went from, man, fuck that nigga. I wish he was here. Account suspended. Oh, please, get the fuck, please. You know, it also makes me think about social media, about, I don't know, it's an addiction, man. Like, you know, I'm talking all this shit because this happened to be on Facebook. I used to be, I ended up on Facebook, Facebook jail very frequently, especially during the whole, after George Floyd was murdered. Yeah, let's just say that I said a lot of things that made white people uncomfortable. I didn't say anything vulgar or terrorist or terrorism, shit like that. No, I just said shit that stroked on white fragility. Anyway, so, so all this to say, I'm back. I'm back. And it might take a while before I start liking your fuck Elon Musk post. All right. Yeah, I think that shit was funny. I don't know if I would make a bit out of it, but here we are. All right. Next item. Okay, here's the part. Okay, here's the part that I got that, and then I'm going to rush through. Okay, first one is, okay, I feel like making a statement, like, that's equivalent to, I condemn Hamas, this is equivalent to. So, long story short, in the news, because this is news and random thoughts, word on the street, no, sorry, the news is, there's been a shooting at Drake's mega mansion, all right? And I feel the need to say, stop the violence, one. Two, and I feel like Riley Freeman, after he learned Gangstalicious got shot, I feel the need to establish to Drake and his people that it wasn't me or my crew who did it. I swear, you know what I mean? If you want to look for, it's probably the niggas in Montreal that, you know, because you shouted out your Montreal connect, and who knows, maybe your Montreal connect has got beef with niggas from Montreal, because, you know, they real like that. They fucking real. See, they vagabond me. And I'm just saying, shit is real. Oh, fuck, I'm funny. This is me bigging up my city. Now, when I say my city, I've offended all of Montreal by saying my city. I was, okay, the confession is I was born in the city of Montreal, but moved out at the age of 5. So apparently 5 years in Montreal is not enough to be able to claim Montreal. What the fuck? Jesus Christ. First, Drake can't claim being a thug, and I can't claim being from Montreal. Ain't that a bitch? Anyway. Funny how I'm saying, yeah, no, it's not Toronto niggas. I shut up your place. It's niggas from, I'm sure there's a bunch of Je Me Souviens license plates that drove off the scene. Oh, what's that line by Nas? He goes, it was a brown Datsun. Nobody in my hood got one. No, okay. So kidding aside. Nah, you know what? Nah, I have difficulty taking this story seriously. One, because the way the news initially reported it, these assholes had to bring up, well, he is beefing with Kendrick Lamar. And I swear, man, it was white people's version of a nigger moment. Nigger moment. We want to talk about a nigger moment. And this poor Drake, who's half white and his mother's Jewish, has to put up with these niggers from Compton who probably shot up his place. No, okay. I'm having difficulty taking this story seriously, except for the security guard who apparently is in critical condition from that shit. But I'm saying maybe it is a looting bid. Maybe it's someone who took the lyrics a little too seriously. Or my first thought was, if Drake starts rapping about the fact that his house got shot up, a la Tupac, R.I.P. Tupac, and I say that out of respect. But if he starts saying, yeah, man, you shot me 5 times and I took it in smile, shit like that. If he said, you know, it's like, yeah, man, fuck you, Kendrick. You sent your people from Compton. I'm saying, you know what? No, I can't take this shit seriously. I'm saying the proof will be in the pudding. The way Drake reacts to this incident is going to tell me everything I need to know. If he brags about getting shot, then I'm being like, yeah, whatever. If he brags about getting shot and blames Kendrick or the rat beef, okay, hold on. Sure, there are crazy people in Toronto, I should admit, right? Or fucking Manhattan. There are crazy people in Canada. Or maybe it's a gambling thing. You know what? Okay, I'll stop. Okay, jokes aside, but I guess the only point that I'm making is this is the equivalent of denouncing Hamas. This is the equivalent of Muslims have to be like, yeah, no, we are fucking denouncing terrorism. Even though it wasn't fucking me, you idiot. It's probably you people who pissed off the wrong people. This is my equivalent. This is the close to being like, I denounce stop the violence. While also saying that, yo, there's no one in my crew. This is me trying to get street credit. There's no one in my crew who did it. Shout out to Riley Freeman. All right, okay. Yo, this might be a bit. Yeah, you know what? Nah, I'm actually nervous about going to Toronto. All disrespectful about Drake. Okay. Okay. All right. So next one I got. Oh, this is beautiful. This is a great, and it's a PSA. And I wasn't initially gonna read it, but I really want to get to these personal thoughts. But links will be in the show notes. And on Reddit, there's a subreddit called Black People Comedy. And one of the moderators, yeah, the moderator, worry about you backup. worry about you back. Okay, the moderator posted a PSA, and it's called A Sub Called Black People Comedy. And Black People is an uppercase comedy. Catering to Black people should not be this surprising to y'all, shaking my head. And essentially, he talks about, I'll summarize it in two words, is really white people. He's talking about, apparently, there are white people who've been bitching about, what is it going to be black people comedy? What does comedy have to have a race? And stupid shit like that. And I only bring this up because it reminds me of that extra layer I put at the intro of my podcast. About F is for fuck whitey. This podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green. And this is my emphasis on, I'm not just a black, I'm a black guy who's been heavily influenced by black American culture, Ottawa and being Haitian. Being from Ottawa, being a black Canadian, being Haitian. All right? My identity is heavily, it's basically, it's my way of saying, yo, this is a black podcast. I'm just getting a lot specific about my blackness. And the fact that I grew up watching TV Ontario on Télé-Québec, and whatever, right? Okay. Shout out to those of you who've heard this already, but I feel the need to recite this. But I remember the F Whitey is an emphasis on fuck your white fragility. Yo, I spend the majority of my waking hours because I'm at work, because of my waking hours being a slave to white fragility. And I mean, by that I mean being at work, part of my code switching is fucking going out of my way to make sure some white person's feeling doesn't get hurt. Some white person, I don't do anything that causes a white person to fucking flinch. And this is my way of saying on this podcast, I don't fucking do that shit. Because again, I'm from Canada. I live in Ottawa. I'm used to being the one black guy surrounded a sea of white people. And the one thing white people love to do is get into black people's business. I blame slavery, by the way. Yeah, there's the holy. You're hearing the black Holy Spirit right now. All right, they love getting into your shit. It's like everything's gotta be about them. Fuck your identity. And the thing about it is, that used to be my normal. That used to, again, unsupervised. These aren't conversations that I've had with my parents, but it's one of those things, you know, you grow up and as a child, you try to make sense of the world. I grew up with this notion that, yo, these white folks, their feelings matter over yours. Their comfort matters over yours. Shut the fuck up when a white man is speaking. I'm laughing, but it's to keep me from crying. So, and this is my... So if there is this emphasis, like, maybe, you know, if I was probably one of those people born and raised in Charlotte, Atlanta, and, you know, Montreal, I probably would have this attitude, but I have to emphasize, it's like, yo, white people, back the fuck up. And despite that warning, there's going to be a white person in the email being like, hey, I was offended by, or saying some stupid shit. By the way, shout out to my sister. I'm debating on using her government name. I guess Erica Eiffel, because she's a writer, right? Shout out to my sister, Erica Eiffel. She posted something, a comment. I forgot. Oh, something about protesting. And I replied. She replied. And holy shit. These crazy crackers came after her. And the thing is, I know she's used to that shit. She's an outspoken black woman. Holy fuck, that's like a target on your head. But she's like Harriet Tubman about that shit. This is not me trying to say, oh, strong black woman. I mean, it is saying so, but I'm saying her journey is not easy. And it hit me. I'm sure there are white people who have her tweets on alert. Just to be able to say, oh, what the fuck is she saying? And they figure that, you know, I'm going to wear her out. Fuck else am I going to do? I'm going to employ her. What the fuck? I'm a bogey. I'm a bogey. I'm using the free Wi-Fi from Starbucks. Using a gift card to buy donuts that grandma gave me for Christmas. I got time. And they're looking at her tweets and being like, and the thing is, them niggas got nothing to do but just be like, nah, I can't create any thoughts. You know, there's a saying that goes, there's a thought that goes, there's an idea that goes, a winner finds a solution to a problem. Finds a solution to the problem. A loser finds a problem with the solution. There are people whose whole life is just dedicated to finding solution to a problem. And a lot of them are white. It's like, yo, black people, whatever you want to do, what? You want to go back to Africa? Fuck that. You're staying here, nigga, to be my slave. You want to stay here? No, fuck that. You're going back to Africa. It's like these people just want to be a... They got nothing better to do than being a fucking cancer. Like, that's going to be the full extent of their lives. And they don't have the brain capacity to be like, oh, holy shit. You know, I deserve better for myself. But whatever, whatever, whatever. I get existence off trying to drain these black folks. Anyway, so I'm just saying, getting back to my point. Whether that intro is necessary or not is irrelevant. I mean, it's relevant to me in a sense. It's just me. It's just I gotta put heavy emphasis on. I have to remind myself that fuck them, man. Fuck them. It ain't about them. It's about you. You're black you. You're black you. All right. So all this to say, shout out to the mod for making that message. It's unfortunate that you got to remind these white folks about, hey, look, this is a safe space for us. Beat it. But no, in sheer white people tradition, it's like, hold on, hey, wait, whoa, what's going on? Wait, hold on a second. What's with this rap music? Put some shit that, you know, that I can't dance to. And whatever, okay. I knew I was going to go long. Okay, I still got thoughts, but the last thing that I'm sharing, and I'm just going to share a quick quote and say on behalf of Shut Up Podcast, Be Black, a.k.a. B Blizzard, a.k.a. Mr. Shut Up Podcast, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lenoir, on behalf of all those names, I stand with women who would rather... who find it safer to be in the presence of a bear than being in the presence of a man. On the list of reasons of why, yo, it's, yo, fuck it. You know what I mean? It's the list of reasons why, you know, I joined the I hate men crew. But you're a man. Well, you know what? Yeah. I'm a man. I don't know. I'm myself. I've given up trying to be joining this church, this cult, not church, this cult called masculinity. I'm being my own self. I mean, sure, on paper, you know, when I fill out the forms. My preferred pronouns are he, him, sure. Yes, I got a penis. Yes, I'm hetero. Yes, I'm cis. Yes, that when I'm filling out the form, male, female, I circle male. Yeah, I do all that shit. But in terms of all the fucking bullshit that's considered being a man, yeah, I reject all that shit. Especially being shitty towards women. Now, there's a lot of assholes being like, oh, wait, not all men. Go fuck yourselves, man. I was, whose podcast was it? I was thinking of, I can't remember who it was, but someone was talking about how, oh, no, someone was reflecting on the messages. No, oh, no. What's her name again? The chick from, the Australian girl from, Australian woman, oh, she's not a woman now, from Stranger Things, Billy. Basically, on the last track, which I'll be talking about in Final Thoughts. Fuck, what's, goddamn it, you're gonna make me Billy, whatever. The point is, Drake apparently used to talk to this underage girl, who's that girl, and she was talking about how, yeah, no, he's a cool guy, whatever, he's a mentor, blah, blah, blah. I could have gone with, you know, I can believe that, but someone had me reflect that, pretend that was your sister, and she tells you about some guy telling you about boys. I'm like, I mean, my point is, they were reading what this Australian girl, you know, I'm going to get her name. Okay, it's Strange. Oh, God damn it. Hold on a second. I'm going to get her real name. Sorry, I got two computers. I'm not bragging here, but one's a piece of shit. Okay, let me, her name is Stranger Things. My apologies for everyone who are like, I know her name. You know, this is probably, I should have a chat room. Millie Bobby Brown. How the fuck did I forget that name? Millie Bobby Brown. Okay. Damn, she's a grown woman now. 20 years old. Right. Okay. Right. So she was talking about how, you know, how she was cool with Drake when she was younger. Oh, there we go. People cringing at resurfaced clip. Oh, 14! Oh, when she was 14. I thought it was when she was 17. Holy shit, bro. Yeah, that's not a good look. And they were just... Somebody thinking, like, imagine your 14-year-old daughter talks to you about this dude and says, he's coming to Atlanta, going to Excited. Basically, she loves the guy, right? And here's the thing. There are, you know what, fuck it. No, that's not the point. I guess what my point is, no one, and, you know, and I'll even say in the right mind, is willing to give Drake, a man, the benefit of the doubt that it's sheer platonic. With good reason. You know what I mean? No fucking guy is thinking, not all men. Nah, they're like, yeah, you know what? Nah, something strange. Nah, something's not appropriate. Fuck that. The fuck you doing, grown ass man, talking to this young girl? She wants a mentor to tell her to go to, I was going to say her pastor. Yeah, who am I kidding? It's not you. Holy shit. Getting back to the point is, I think what I'm trying to say is a lot of men have been complaining about women saying, yeah, I would rather be in the presence of a bear than a fucking man. And they've been having their feelings hurt by that shit. And the only reason that bothers me is you assholes know, you assholes need to A, get over yourself, and B, start reflecting on everything you've been taught about women. Now, see, the problem is a lot of yous have difficulty realizing that I am not treating this person as a human being. I'm just treating as a bunch of people I can stick my dick in. And the more probable I can get my dick in her, the more she's a woman. You know what I mean? I think that's when I figured it out. That's what it made sense. I remember it was on a Faithful International Women's Day, and I fought myself making the realization. I'm like, holy shit! I've been judging all women by who's willing to fuck me. So if you were, you know, an outspoken feminist, you know, who's not going like, yeah, my favorite activity is sex. You know what I mean? But basically stroking the male ego, then all of a sudden you were a bad person. I'm like, oh, you were a bad woman. See, you're Eve who bit the apple. But if you were like, I like to fuck all the time, you know? Like, if you were a woman who convinced me, like, there's a 0.1, there's a 1% chance I'll let you fuck me. You were like, yeah, okay, see, that's a woman. That's what I'm talking about. When I realized that, that's when I was like, oh, I get it. I'm realizing that. And the thing is, a lot of dudes need to have that realization. Until then, you're the fucking problem. You're the fucking problem. All right, you're done preaching. So, yeah, getting back to my point, yes. High five, I get it, ladies. And I understand. Yes, we are a shitty group. I've contributed to that shittiness. I understand women who would rather be in the presence of a bear than a fucking man. All right, okay. Holy shit, okay. All right. Like I said, man, this is a Baptist sermon today. All right, okay. Now, here's a little personal note that I had to add, and let's rush through it, right? First one is, shout out to my homegirl Jay for after I told her the story, and she concluded with, bro, the price of being authentic. All right, I'm going to confess something to you. Not that I care, but I think I talked about it before, right? It's common that I do things and tell it to someone else, and they're like, wow, and completely regret telling it because I didn't realize, oh, shit, I didn't realize I was supposed to be ashamed of that shit. Like, I remember when I had no idea that there was such a thing as girly drinks. I remember, what was it? Shout out my cousin. Holy shit. The nigga who introduced me to it. It was called, what was that drink called? Fuck. Is it a Mai Tai? Anyways, whatever. I remember, you know, when I started my early days of clubbing and drinking alcohol, and I'm like, yeah, I don't like beer too much. And then someone introduced me. I think it was a Mai Tai. And that shit was delicious. Picture me with a straw, drinking it like it's Kool-Aid. This is delicious. Like drinking like it's a Slurpee in the club. Hey, bitch. In the club. Talking about, hey, bitch. Get with a real nigga. Slurp, slurp, slurp. Anyway, whatever. So, this one coworker, typical, stereotypical Canadian from Kingston. Yeah, from Kingston. I remember the look on his face. That dude was originally funny. He was already funny, man. But that look on his face when he's, we're at a joint where all coworkers and I'm slipping on my Mai Tai. Look, delicious. I'm having a great time. And he's looking at it and goes, his face was all fucked up. He goes, what is that, Kool-Aid? No, no, okay. You know, that kind of sounds racist, but no. look at me defending a white person. But the look on his face, what the fuck is that? Is that cool? Like stereotypical man's man drinking his beer, whatever. And he's like, what the fuck? Who let him in here? My point is, holy shit. Okay, now I'm seeing why it takes so long. You know, I should write these things down. I made a note. I should write these things down. But I won't, because if I write things down, then I'll procrastinate on doing the show. Whatever. Okay. So, what was I saying? Yeah. So, on the long list of things that I had no idea I was supposed to say it. And because I developed this thing, okay, I got to be careful about things saying, you know, because I want to be considered a quote-unquote man. Right, so this time is, I talked about this on a previous episode. Again, didn't realize it was bad. Is I took Aqua Fitness. Why? Because I'm a fat fuck and I hate exercising. And Aqua Fitness seems to be like, okay, all right, you know what? The intro to liking exercising again. And the thing is, the other thing too is, swimming, being in water is the one exercise that I usually don't find myself looking at the time. Is this shit over, right? I'm trying to find exercise that I enjoy. Like, I wish that hiking was something that I enjoy, like people. I wish that canoeing, all that shit, whatever. No, right now it seems to be swimming. So it was just my, okay, look at me giving you all this justification. My point is, Aqua Fitness. Now, I remember being in the class, and I noticed that my instructor was an older, elderly man, and I realized, I looked around, I'm like, holy shit, I'm 49, and yet I think I'm the youngest person in here. And I think I had an image of Breaking Bad, it might have been Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul, and it's like I felt like I was in a scene where there was a senior home. And it's like, okay, let's cut to a bunch of old people doing Aqua Fitness. My point is, okay, we want this to be a believable scene of Aqua Fitness. So only have old people in there, right? And then I'm like, oh, shit, I don't think I'm supposed to be here. Like, I was self-conscious about, like, I don't think I'm supposed, despite having all the right reasons to be in there, I'm like, I don't think I'm supposed to be here. And I snapped the fuck out of it, whatever. Anyways. Did it, enjoyed myself, had a great time. I could check off that, hey, I did it. I committed to doing what I didn't want to do. Anyways, now, I'm sure there's a bunch of you laughing at this, and that's not, like I said, this show is about healing journey. Like, you know, I guess what I'm saying is, if you're laughing at me, then yeah, go fuck yourself. This podcast is for you. If you're laughing with me, then yeah, that's that's what's the intention of this whole storyline. Anyway, so I go to the grocery store, and homie that I know who works at Black Dude, you know, that I know, that we just shoot the shit, regular shit, whatever, right? And I remember he was like, hey, so where you coming from, whatever, I do it, whatever, right? I don't know what the fuck possessed me. Being like, yeah, I just came out from an Aqua Fitness class. And I remember after saying it, being like, oh, B, what the fuck, rump, nah, man, you fucked up. Now, there's a chance I'm making this up. There's a chance he was like, okay, whatever, right? Maybe I'm the one who was self-conscious, but I felt like he was like, wait, what the fuck? Aqua Fitness. He didn't elaborate, but I think he held back, but he was like, what? Aqua Fitness? Dude, like, you should be doing sports. Should be doing football. Should be doing soccer. Should be doing, and whatever. And Like, I felt like there was like a giggle about to come out. And holy shit, where am I going with this? Okay, my whole point to this whole story is he held back and he goes, a lot of women in that class, huh? He goes, some shit like that. He joked about that. And then he made one joke. And I remember being like, wanting to be angry. But I remember being like, you know what, babe? Fuck that. You fucked up by thinking he was the kind of human being you can share that shit, that kind of story with. All right? And I'm just saying, I left there, but it reminded me of, oh shit, that's right, B. You're not the kind of human being. Someone like you needs to be more mindful of, like, you know, just kept it moving. I did the lessons learned, but yeah, it's a reminder that not everyone is cool like that. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. All right. Okay. So it just, I'm making a note because I'm going to do a callback to it. I just referenced it. I just fucked it up, but authentic. Yeah. And my point is, on one end, older me would have been like, fuck you, fought back. No, I would have probably left the place being like, I should have fucked that nigga up. But I left there being just like lessons learned. Like, and then like my homie Jay broke it down. It's like, dude, price of being authentic. Just get used to it. Every once in a while, you're going to say shit that motherfuckers are not going to understand. Remember, black people say yes to the question, are you an outcast? So it's the price of being authentic, man. So I'll leave it at that. Okay, last point. Last one. And you know, this is my favorite one, man. And I'm glad that I'm taking my time with this shit. So at work today, I guess it's National Mental Health Week or something like that. But we had a presentation on, again, at work. Public sector. We had a presentation about mental health. And now I attended the French session, right? It doesn't matter. My point is, I take interest in it. Like I'm mindful of mental health. It's a topic that I take seriously, and so I attended the meeting, even though I was kind of skeptic. First thing happened is I remember the presenter was talking. And she asked the question, hey, what are some things that, in her presentation about mental health, what do you think that contributes to the decline of mental, or that fucks with, it was her way of, I'm paraphrasing, but things that make you feel fucked with, or that chips at your mental health. And my first thought was the economy, inflation, shit like that, finances, I was going to put it, but, and then, people were putting their reasons, death in the family, blah, blah, blah. Two people wrote, and I'm like, right when I was thinking it, two people beat me to the whole having to return to the office. Some people found that funny, but it was serious. Or the whole return to the office, working three times, you know, there's a new mandate at work where people want to force the bosses want us to do, we used to be at two times a week, now they want to bump it up to three times a week. And just to be clear, you know, a lot of people are thinking, oh, you don't want to go back to work? No, we want to work. I just want to do it without being surrounded by motherfucking assholes. let me get to that, right? So two people put those reasons. And I remember when she read back the answers about, okay, here are a list of things that fuck with people. She skipped those two reasons. Now, benefit of the doubt, the presenter, I guess, skipped those two reasons. Now, benefit of the doubt, maybe she missed it twice. Again, benefit of the doubt. Or what I believe is it's a touchy subject. It's controversial. Her bosses are like, what the fuck? Are you encouraging people to not return to the office? Don't you know our fucking downtown needs to be, the mayor needs to stimulate the economy. Bitch, what are you doing? They don't talk like that, but whatever. So she skipped those two. Fast forward to the end of the presentation. this one guy, and he was really genuine. He asked a question because there's like an organization within the group that it's like, yo, if you're feeling you're at your limit, here's a group within that you can talk to. By the way, spoiler alert, that group, I'm not going to say who that group is, but yo, they have a reputation of being useless. They're just like, it's like saying, damn, I don't have a good comparison for it, but it's like saying, I'm thinking of something. Okay, whatever. Okay, let me just get to the point. They're a reputation of not being able to help you with real shit. Like, they could probably help you with, hey, someone stole my stapler. Oh, okay, well, you know, blah, 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 blah. We'll send you whatever, right? But real shit. It's like, yeah, my boss keeps making advances at me. It's, have you tried wearing, you know, more clothes? You know, have you tried not being so sexy? Okay, I'm exaggerating. But I am going to say, but this dude starts bringing up a situation where he's in a situation where, look, one of the motherfuckers working for me is fucked. I'm like, has serious, serious mental health issues. I'm talking, this motherfucker hears voices in his head. This motherfucker is threatening, making people feel uncomfortable. And he brought it up to that group, and apparently they couldn't help him. And it's not, the story is less about the fuck that that group couldn't help him. It's more that this manager seems to have, is unable to find a solution to his problem. He's surrounded by people being like, damn, that sucks that you're in this situation. I wanted to add to this, to the story, because, yeah, because he was like, yo, I can't fire this person for mental health reasons. That's fucked up. But I can't get any help. What I'm saying is, it's very common for these managers to be in situations where they can't do shit about. Looney bins working among them because they're worried that the union will take their side, the lawyers, whatever. They can't do shit about it. And my thought was, I wanted to jump in with, but I don't like making shit awkward. It's like, okay, that's fucked up. It's like, I wanted to talk about, like, there's a thought, and I quote, or an idea. It goes, and I'm paraphrasing, it's in my own words. I'm saying, I'm in therapy because you assholes won't go into therapy. Are you with me? So the person on his staff, he's managing, needs help, but they don't feel like they need help. That's what makes the situation difficult. To them, they're normal. So what the fuck? What's wrong with y'all? Right? And so he can't fire. And I'm thinking about being the coworker who's got to work with them, with that person. Because, again, this workspace, it's filled. You know what? Filled? Majority sounds like a majority. But what I am going to say is there's a lot of people who need help. Who should be going to therapy, who should be talking to people. But instead, these assholes show up to work and it's like, yo, I'm going to unleash on all the problems I'm having at home, I'm having with my kids, I'm having with my wife, with my husband, I'm going to unleash it on you motherfuckers. You're going to be punished for it. And shout out to those of you, especially you new Canadians, you immigrants, who don't have the courage, who don't feel they're able to speak up. Shout out to y'all, because y'all gonna feel it the worst. I'm going to make this place an uncomfortable workspace. Why? Because ain't no one gonna do shit about it. I'm not going to elaborate, but there's a lot of fucking microaggression that's still happening. A lot of presentation are being done about it, right? And I felt like saying, so you can't do shit about this guy while the rest of it, and then I got to sit through this fucking presentation about how we're taking mental health seriously. I wanted to say, what about the mental illness? How about people at our work who have this mental illness called racism? And I'm not talking like white power, overt racism. I'm talking like, under the radar racism. It's like, yo, it's loud enough for you niggers to hear it, but low enough for the rest of you white people to be like, oh, that wasn't racist. Whoa, what the fuck? Why you gotta make it about race? It's like, fuck. All I know is, I had someone today say some fucked up under the radar racist shit. Like the kind that if I bring it up, it's going to be like, whoa, slow down here, Malcolm X. It's the kind that, it never ends with the white person being like, you know what, my bad, I'm going to do better. It's like, fuck, I'll do better, nigger. Fucking nigger. You know what I mean? So I'm saying, yeah, it just drives me nuts. It's like, it drives me nuts. These assholes are talking about, we take mental health seriously. By the way, get your black ass in the office so you can tolerate these fucked up human beings. And rant. All right, okay, that's it. Yeah, I'm glad I got it out of my system. I should write this shit down, but it's like, fuck. I want to say pray for me. I want to say, oh, man, whatever. Okay, that's it. Because I like to talk. All right, with that said, this concludes News and Random Thoughts. Let's jump to Final Thoughts, and then one episode 170 could be in my books. All right, okay, let's go. That hesitation you heard is me playing with the sound effects, and I... It's all pre-programmed. I'm always worried about hitting the wrong line. You know what I mean? Like, God forbid I hit... No, this one I can't get wrong, but... who was I talking about? Oh, yeah, DJ Vlad. Yeah, I meant to play this on the last episode. I did it for DJ Vlad.
Shut your mouth, Kane, bitch!
There we go. Yeah, it's not enough to call a white man, a racist white man, a cave boy. I call him cave bitch. And not to demean bitches, but it's more to make them feel bad about being a bitch. All right, okay. What else do I got in here? Sorry, I feel like playing with my sound effects, but problem is some of them aren't probably modulated. All right, okay, focus. All right, where were we? Okay. What's up with the title, B? What the fuck, man? What the fuck, B? This is now the third episode. You've reused the name Revenge of the Lunatic. First of all, okay, again, for those of you who have this three-part series, first of all, I'm going to say that the idea, the notion of Revenge of the Lunatic, in this particular case, the lunatic is Kendrick Lamar. And I mean the lunatic in a good way. Sorry. And when I talk about the lunatic, I'm making reference to Tupac's track from his first album, Tupacalypse Now. By the way, I have a problem writing Tupacalypse or apocalypse on paper. Or lips. Yeah, it's the L-Y-P-S-E part that screws with me. That's not the point. Yeah. So Tupac, he's got a line. He's got one of those tracks that if you're a fan, you like. But it's not like, is that what they call it? On the B side, is that what they call it? But whatever. He's called the Lunatic. And it's one of those rhymes that when it comes on, that I'm reciting most of the lyrics. And it was an opportunity. I found an opportunity. I've always wanted to recite those verses. And, like, I have fun when it comes out of my mouth. So, yes, the lunatic. So I purposely, three parts. There are three verses to that song. And I used this opportunity to be able to reuse these verses. Okay. Granted, I did it verse 2, verse 1, and verse 3. But verse two is the one that spoke to me. The reason why the lunatic, I'm inspired by the song The Lunatic by Tupac, is because when Euphoria dropped by Kendrick Lamar. All right, now, Kendrick Lamar, Machiavelli Offspring, a.k.a. the Machiavelli Offspring, when I heard Euphoria, my first thought was that line by Pac where he says, looking like a bitch because your whole fucking posse broke out. When he dropped Euphoria, I went from being like, yo, okay, I just want to make it clear. I'm a black guy from Ottawa. I'm Canadian. I'm a black Canadian, but I'm a black guy from Ottawa. And Drake is a white boy from Toronto. Like, I felt the need to be like, yo, hold on a second. Yo, before y'all fuck us up, I want to be, dear Kendrick, before you drop a nuke on Canada, I want to be clear. Can you aim that nuke specifically at his mansion? and keep us, the rest of us, out of the blast radius. No, seriously. I love that line when Pac says, looking like a bitch because your whole fucking posse broke. I thought it was cool. But Kendrick made it practical. I think I've said I would never be in the situation. I would never put any of my homies in a situation where I would break out on them during a fight. But if I'm walking with a so-called homie, with a, you know, someone, your friend, and the person who wants to fuck you up is like, yo, that dude raped my sister. I'm like, oh, peace, I'm out. That's where our friendship, right in that moment, the terms and condition of our friendship have been broken, and homie, you're on your own. Granted, I should like break up the fight, but I should be like, hold on. Where's your proof? Yeah, let me put it this way. If I'm like walking away on a friend after that accusation, it's because that, yeah, I knew. I knew you were on some fuck shit, but now this confirms it. And this man wants to beat someone's ass, and it's not going to be mine. So going back. So all this to say, getting back again, hope that cleared that up. Three-part series, three verse, and it's all inspired by the line from The Lunatic where he says, the whole line goes, that's what you provoke when you smoked out. Excuse me. That's what you provoke, and now you're smoked out. Okay, one more time. Nigga, I'm loke when I smoke on the endo, but we can be friends, though, after you get broke like a window. That's what you provoke, and now you're smoked out, looking like a bitch because your whole fucking posse broke out. For you kids listening to this podcast, posse is what we used to call a crew, a group of people, all right? That's what we used to call, you know, a gang. All right, got out the way. I spent a lot explaining the what's up with the title. Okay, let me get to this, right? Okay, and shout out to you people for your patience. We're about to conclude the sermon, all right? Okay, even the Holy Spirit's getting tired. Damn, look at the time. All right, okay. So after, after I released the last episode where I talked about, where I gave a summary of the beef, and mainly from, I was biased for Kendrick, is it biased for, or whatever, I was on Kendrick's side, I said he released this, and Drake released that. And I did talk about family matters. So I hit publish, and Drake releases, what's the name of the song, one more time, it goes, Man Bear. Okay. Drake releases the track by another location. Wait, what? Hold on. Let me hit refresh. There we go. Wait, what the fuck is... Oh, this ain't it. Oh, this is the wrong track. I'm sorry. I ain't doing this. Oh! Okay, sorry. Someone wrote Drake versus Kendrick Lamar, all diss tracks in order. Wow, that's and it's like 46 and 13 minutes. Jesus Christ. I don't know, that's not the point. Okay, let me in the Kendrick. Okay. My whole point in this is Drake released The Heart Part 6, which apparently is Heart Pipe 5 is a track by Kendrick, but whatever. Drake released The Heart Part 6, and I swear that shit was like, felt like, yo, I'm not playing anymore. Not, I don't mean like, you know, I'm not playing anymore. You're about to feel these nuts. No, it was like, like smashing the Nintendo. I'm that old, guys. Smashing your Nintendo. This game is rigged. Fuck it. I'm not going to win. I'm losing. I'm getting my ass whooped. This nigga's got people believing that. Yo, okay, look. Okay. I gotta admit that I was listening to, when I released an episode, I smoked some indica kush, not kush, but some weed, and it was the indica and it, whatever. So my point is, it amplified my empathy, my highly sensitive trait. It's like, I'm thinking of the X-Men, and I forget that machine that Professor X uses to amplify his powers. Anyway, that's what weed indica does to me. It amplifies my empathy and whatever. Dude, I heard that track by Drizzy. I know he was trying to sound mad, but that dude sounded like sad. He sounded, And it was sad where, dude, I found myself feeling sorry for the guy. I'm gonna lie. A lot of the verses were like, yo, you're not, you did not think that one through. I don't know if it was like, fuck it. I don't know if it was like, fuck it. Or was he like, yo, I'm, fuck this. I don't want people to think I'm a bitch, so I'm gonna record this quick. I don't know what he was thinking. But in this verse, I mean, Drake fans will tell you that Drake won. The one thing he did, he kept the flow. He kept the Drake flow. What's the word? Not traditional, but the I hate when my brain's not cooperating. But the thing where trademark flow that we all know Drake for, he kept that shit. But what he was saying was, oh my God, a lot of it was denial. It was like, yo, man, what the fuck? If I was raping these kids, wouldn't I be arrested? Oh, bro, come on, are you serious? Now, the one thing that I did like is, this is me trying to sound positive. I promise I was going to keep it real, but this is, I feel the need to be like poor Drake. I'm starting with poor Drake, then I'll be like, and then the next part is, but he had it coming. So this is my poor Drake moment, right? It was like, not that he's asking for my pity, but fuck it, he's getting it. Denying it. Oh, yeah, the one part that I like is when he said there's a line, and apparently everyone else hated it, but Alexi said A major, B major, something you think D flat, but D major. Anyway, I like that one. But that dude was like Stannis going up. I'm going Game of Thrones reference, right? That dude was like Stannis. I wonder if he sacrificed, so if he burnt his daughter for this shit. Oh, that's fucked up. But that dude was like Stannis confronting, what was that guy's name? That crazy guy. Shit. What was his name again? The Boltons. The Boltons bastard. And he got right. Like, if you haven't seen Game of Thrones, but he got like, it wasn't a fight, man. He tried to put up a fight, but that, oh man. All I know is, yeah, I felt sorry for the dude, right? And just to be clear, Drake won't be the first asshole who I felt I've felt empathy for. I felt like, oh man. And it was, this is why I can't be a cop, because my emotions would get in the way. It's like, oh man. This is why I couldn't be a drug dealer. Because I would let a crackhead talk me into, oh man, you really need that fixed, don't you? All right, okay, all right. This time, I really mean it. All right? You better pay me back. I know I've said that 100 times already, but this time, all right? I can't be paying Avon for your eye. But my point is, not to say that I'm a good person. My point is, sometimes I have difficulty turning off that. Yo, come on, turn off the empathy. So all this to say, I felt like I was listening to a man cry. I was felt like a man lashing out, like, it's like the bully. Yeah, the bully getting his ass kicked. And but then you see in that moment as he's getting his ass kicked, you go from, oh man. Your dad was an alcoholic. That's why you're a bully. All of a sudden, you're thinking all these fucked up thoughts that's like interrupting the moments. Oh, man, the reason you were lashing out. And you have no idea. Or maybe you do. But in my mind, I'm like, you could help yourself being a bully. I mean, you got to get this ass whooping. But I'm like, you know, I'm not saying I'm stopping the ass whooping. I'm saying in that moment, I'm keeping it to myself. I'm being like, damn, that shit looks like it hurts. Yo, Drake was humiliated, man. That dude was humiliated. With that all said, because I needed to share all that, right? With that all said, homie deserved it. Now, okay, homie deserved it. Now, I say this with, there's a video right now I just watched. I think his name is Lil Flip. There's a video of him and his people, whatever. I think he's on a live stream, and he's confronting. If I find it, I'll share it in the notes, right? But I remember I just saw it before recording this episode. There's a video of, is that his name? Not Lil Flip, Lil Pump, whatever. And He's the guy who rapped with you think you got, no, you think, whatever, whatever. But my point is, apparently they confront this dude who claim is, I'm not saying it's lying, look believable, okay, because like I know what a pedo looks like, but a pedophile there, I guess they convinced some pedophile to meet them, and then it was a trap, and the whole video is him rapping, this rapper rapping about how he's a pedophile, and his homie or whatever, his hired goons, is like spray painting on him. The point is humiliation, and I don't know if they beat, I didn't watch the whole video, but they're just spray painting on him while he's rapping, and this dude can't do shit about it. Now again, it's exactly it. It's like, you're looking at this shit, it's like, yeah, you deserved it. But I'm like, the whole civilized society thing, I'm like, are you in a position to be giving that kind of ass whooping? You know what I mean? So it made me think of this podcaster who was talking about, are we looking at, look, The Wrath of Kendrick Lamar, that's what I said. Like I said, you know, Revenge of the Lunatic. I don't mean that. I mean, like, yo, you fucked with the wrong one. He's like, this reminds me of Biggie's track, What's Beef? And the conclusion is, whatever the fuck your definition of beef is, you don't want it with Biggie Smalls. In this case, it's like, what the fuck? Kendrick Lamar is like, bang, bang. Who else want to fuck with Hollywood Cole? I'm like, not me, not me. Fuck that shit. I'm saying people are looking at it as the righteous fighting the unrighteous. I guess it feels justified. That's why it justified what Kendrick is doing to Drake. And I'm pulling myself away of Kendrick is not righteous. I'm not saying he claims to be righteous, but I'm, look, you know what? I think what's making this beef like less pleasurable is the fucking audience. Some people are saying shit that I don't. Yeah, I think some people are looking at it like good over evil. Hey, what's funny is Kendrick actually said this is good over evil, but whatever, right? This is feeling like Lil Pump confronting a pedophile. And I'm thinking about it. Yo, I'm all for administrating justice. I'm all for defending these kids. But is this fixing the situation? Like, for the one of the few times I find myself understanding the difference between revenge and justice. Like, I'm all about rehabilitation. Look, I'm all for ass whooping if it changes their ways. You know, if it makes a pedophile going, you know what? Being a pedophile is not good. Nah. I think all these guys learn is, okay, I need to hide better. This is just another day in the office. It's like watching, okay, this is a great example. Someone to break into my house, yes, I'm all for vengeance, fucking them up. But is that going to make that person being like, you know what? I fucked up. I see, my attempt is to make that person feel, lick his wounds. Again, hurt people hurt people. I want to make that hurt person hurt more. Do you know, I'm saying, okay, hold on. Okay, I'm going to back up about it, but it's like I'm distancing myself from the notion that Kendrick is the righteous defeating the unrighteous. I'm giving up on that. Again, with that said, like the pedophile, I'm like, fuck, dude, shouldn't touch these kids. Because I've been reflecting a lot on why do you resent, what's this hatred for Drake? And I summarize it to three things. One is on his, now this is just him lashing out because on, so Drake, this felt like, okay, you're pulling at straws here, whatever, right? Drake did something that I found was fucked up. There's a song by, it's like he wanted to commit suicide, but there's a song by Kendrick called Mother I Sober, and I won't lie, man, someone on someone on was it Reddit or whatever, someone asked a question, what's your favorite Kendrick song on the album, what's that album called? The Mr. Morale, The Big Steppers. Excuse me. And I found myself going, holy shit. Because I actually know my favorite song is Die Hard. But it's only because it's the one song that I'm not focused on the lyrics. There's a lot of great songs on the album, but I remember going Die Hard, and then I'm looking at the answers. I'm like, holy shit. Okay, let me check out the other one. So I found myself re-listening to the album and everything that I missed. I'm like, shit. Anyways, when I got to Mother Sober, Mother I Sober, the sky was gray. I was on driving to work. There was traffic on the way. Yo, I paid attention to the lyric. I paid attention also to the part that Drake kind of tried to use against Kendrick. Bro, I had another moment where I felt like crying. I talk about my cry like, you know, it's, let me put it this way. If I had listened to it on the way to therapy, I'd be telling my therapist about how I feel like crying. She'd be like, hey, fuck, let it out, nigga, let it out. She doesn't talk like that, but I'm saying, let it out. Let it out. And I've trained my brain. The one thing I do, because I have this problem where it sometimes it's hard for me to cry. And it's not me being a tough guy. It's I feel like I broke something. Sometimes it's hard for me to cry. But I'm an emotional guy, whatever. I always feel like crying. This is very frequent that I guess what it is. I'm always feeling like crying, so I've gotten into the habit of resisting that urge. Anyways, I remember listening, focusing on the lyrics and thinking about the part is, oh, wow, you accused your uncle of, your mom forced you into accusing your uncle of, accusing your uncle that he molested you. That's fucked up. And I don't mean fucked up like, what you did is fucked up. I mean, it is fucked up, but I mean like, imagine being in that situation. Holy fuck. You know what I mean? Like, you caused this. I'm thinking of that lyric by, that song by Jay-Z, where he talks about how he shot his brother. And first time I heard that verse, I didn't understand it. I didn't process it the way I should have. And it's only later that I'm like, oh, I know he wasn't bragging, but I'm like, okay, first of all, the relationship between you and your brother must have been fucked up for you to reach the point where I'm like, shooting him makes sense. Like, at first it sounded like, yo, you're just a crazy person. No, I imagine that relationship between those two must have been like he talks about my big brother's trying to make me tougher. So I'm sure there's been time. I'm not trying to justify it, but I'm realizing that shit must have escalated to the point where I've been in situation. I remember being with my brother, and this is not me being really tough guy, but the thing is, we played this game when we're mad at each other. It's called who can hurt the other person's feeling to the point where they want to. Basically, you're trying to goat the other person into throwing the first punch. Now, it was easier to do, you know, when we were younger, because I was a tough guy. But then he got to a point where he was like, yo, that dude can kick my ass. So he was getting good at pushing them buttons. And I was like, ah, fuck this. Dude, you throw that first punch, it's not going to work out. But that's not the point to my story. The point to my story is we were getting a little too good at pressing each other's button. And I remember hitting a rage point where I was like thinking things I should not be thinking about. Like I was reaching a rage where I was like thoughts I should not be thinking about blood against blood. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not playing this game anymore. And it's like, you know, I'm not saying that our relationship got better, but it was just easier. I'm like, yeah, fuck that. I'm going my separate ways because it's only, I can see it only getting worse. And it doesn't help where we're two emotional dudes, whatever. But okay, getting back to the point is, so this song made me emotional. I wanted to cry. I held it in. I remember being at work And to hide the fact that I wanted to cry, I just kept commenting about, yeah, man, fuck, those clouds look depressing, man, fuck. And I kept saying that if I'm looking, basically I was trying to convince everyone that if I seem down, if I'm whatever, it's because of these gray clouds. But really, it was Mother Eye Sober. That part where I was like, understood what, oh, shit, man. That's a lot for a person to, man, there's a line where Kendrick goes, you haven't felt pain till you felt it sober. Nick, are you, what? Holy shit. So all this to say, this was a heavy song. And Drake used it as a, oh, no wonder you, okay, well, A, Drake misunderstood it, but I think that's not the point. I think he was just, okay, I'm not trying to justify it. But Drake did something that I can't respect in another adult. I know he was lashing out. I know he was like drawing at straws. It's like, dude, I'm running out of things. I'm going to go listen to your album and look for some ammunition. I'm going to listen to the shit that you said while vulnerable. I've done that. I've been guilty of that. That's what I meant when I said leaving rage. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going after your vulnerabilities. Oh, that girl that dumped you and it really crushed your spirit. Yeah, that's why she dumped you, you little nigga. Whatever, you know, that's not the argument. But my point is, I remember being angry at Drake for, oh no, it's only after. But Drake made reference to that song called, he goes, Mother Eye, as clever as it sounds, right? And basically he says, oh, no wonder you're fucked up. You were molested by your uncle. I mean, you know, that wasn't the story. It was deeper than that, Drake. But that's not the point. My point, what I'm staying at is, what I'm getting at is, what's a bad look for me, what became a bad look for Drake was him using that song, that verse, that story as a way to win. I'm sure Kendrick saw it coming because, yo, I know what your next movie is. I know you're going to use the shit that I said to Mr. Morale against me. I'm waiting for you. So, yeah, I think he played into the trap. That's how I knew that, yeah, this is no longer strategic, man. Drake is losing it. He's spiraled into whatever the, because he tried to use that. Goes, oh, no wonder you're fucked up. No wonder you're coming at me because you're a molested person. Now, that used to be my top one reason, but I do remember that even Kendrick made reference to, you know, how Drake, you're an alcoholic, gambling debts. Now, I've heard about that rumor about gambling debts and you like to fondle younger girls. Now, the last one about, you know, being a pedophile, I can't speak on that. But what I am going to speak on, it's like, come on. I mean, this goes to, okay, this is the point I'm making. I understand Kendrick, you know, dude, I'm in a fucking battle here, man. Look, here's the thing. I think I'm realizing from Kendrick, and it's something that Rod on the Black Guy Who Tips podcast said. He goes, yo, I think homie hates that guy. And I'm starting to believe, I think this shit was boiling up and he's like, yo, fuck that. You're about to feel the wrath of the West Coast. No, not the West Coast. You're about to feel the wrath of Kendrick Lamar. Never liked you, nigga. I think he's letting it out. And it makes me think of that guy I was telling you earlier, the friend of mine who I felt was making fun of me for going into aqua fitness class or whatever. And two things. I remember in that moment being, because I don't like being made fun of. Like, that's actually pretty good. I don't like being made fun of to the point that I'd rather not be authentic than be made fun of. But now, I'm on a journey. I'm trying to fix that. But I remember going home and feeling rage and then starting to think about, I know every possible way I can hurt this motherfucker's feelings. I'm going to use my ability to empathize to get, because I have a natural, I have this talent that, well, not on everyone, but some people feel the need to share all kinds of personal info. I'm going to use that against them. And I feel like Kendrick is like, yeah, this asshole does not see it coming. I feel like this is no longer beef. I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll apologize for it, but I feel like Kendrick was like, yeah, you don't know shit about healing, do you? I see the symptoms, and I'm going to, like, it's one thing, it felt like Kendrick was like, yeah, you need to work on the fact that you're an alcoholic and got gambling debts. But it's like, but to me, it wasn't tough love. It was, I know you're escaping something because maybe that's what he said, because you're an alcoholic and you're blah, blah, blah. I know you got issues. Anyway, well, all this to say that, all this to say, I'm like, damn, this is like worse than Bishop and Juice. You know, when someone does something to be like, okay, who the fuck, who wants to fuck with Hollywood Cole now? Who else wants some? Not me, not me. Like, that was enough to be like, yeah, holy shit. What's that Simpson comic? He cried, stop, you killed them already. That's how it felt like. I'm like, damn. But I'm not going to speak out loud because I don't want him to take out that rage on me. Okay, hold on. Okay, I'm saying, I guess the point that I'm making is I resented Drake for using Mother I Sober against Kendrick, but while remembering that Kendrick did bring up his problem, his issue. But again, this is battle. This is bad. Who knows? I don't know. This is battling. Whatever. Like, I wonder what Eckhart Tolle, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that, another English person whose name I'm fucking up, Eckhart Tolle is thinking, it's like, yo, Kendrick, holy shit, when I talk about squashing the eagle, whatever, you know what? Kendrick's got his own journey. Maybe this is going to be one thing he's going to be, who knows? I wonder if this is going to be something he's going to be like, yeah, I overdid it. Or he's going to be like, fuck that. Let that be my, I'm going to go to hell. I know Kendrick is a believer. I mean, he's probably telling himself, fuck it. If this is the shit I go to hell for, fuck it. I'm sorry, God. I couldn't let that shit go. But anyway, there's a... So I'm agreeing with what Rod's saying. I think there's like a deep-seated rage. Like, it's holy shit. It's not beef. It's like this thing is in the boxing ring, and he took off his gloves, and he's like whap, whap, whap. And the referee's trying to stop it, and he punched the referee, and the referee's knocked out. Whap. Whap! And we in the audience are like, I'm not stepping in that ring. Fuck that. Aren't you his homies? Shouldn't y'all step in? Fuck that shit. We're waiting for Kendrick to get tired. Then we'll pull him off. But whatever. That last song by Drake felt like a man who's defeated. He said, so, you know, I'll keep going. Yo, he felt like the little brother going, no, fuck that, man. I did not get my ass kicked. Dude, your teeth just fell out. Come on, man. Your eyes out of his eye socket. All right, so I said all this just to be able to say, because I was like, I've been thinking about my resentment towards, okay, I'm just going to summarize, because I've been thinking a lot, why do you hate Drake, man? And I think it all started when Drake became, exactly, he started to make music for fuckboys. I endorse being a fuckboy. I'm all about being a fuckboy. I'm like, I'm rich. What? Inflation? Fuck y'all, that's your problem. What? You can't keep a job, huh? It's your problem. I'm getting these bitches and I'm getting this money. This Canadian money. Yeah, Drake just became, okay, he's just a rapper who's in the category of rappers that I just don't fuck with. His lyrics just don't. It's like I resent the fact that he's no longer entertaining me. It started with that. But after the whole Kendrick Lamar shit, I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah, you're not a good person. You are not. I'm not that I'm a good person myself. But the one thing we can all agree on, or the one thing that I can write down is I did not like the one thing that out of them all that I resent the most about Drake, he said Kendrick Lamar, is the fake blackness. It's the I'm black when it's convenient. There's a video about it. I'm not going to, because of the time, I'm not going to play it, but it's in the show notes. And a content creator talks about, there it is. Hold on. You might hear some noise. Okay. Culture versus colonizer. Colonizers. Yeah. And the content creator's name is, hold on a second. Let me put this down so it doesn't, content creators.
Can hip-hop talk about euphoria and
hold on a second. The Culture Sours. Oh, wow. At The Culture Sours. Anyway, links is in the show notes. You can watch it for yourself. But brother breaks it down, exemplifies how, reminded me how, yeah, Drake is a culture vulture. And I say this as a black Canadian. I say this as a black Canadian who spent 2 years in the States, and it took him 2 years in the States to realize in my mid-20s to be like, oh, shit. Just because I listen to hip-hop, just because I listen consume a lot of black American content, I am not them. Their existence is different from... Yo, look, we experience racism, don't get me wrong. But it's like, it reminded me that, okay, I'm kind of a man without a country. I was born in this country, in Canada. Montreal, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, born in this country. My parents are Haitian. My community was like Canadian, French Canadians. French Canadians. Like, they would have more claim on me. Okay, wait, that's kind of like slavery here. No, I'm saying, because I'm a child of immigrant, it's hard to be like, basically I'm not a black American, no matter how much I imitate their accent, no matter how much I consume their, black Americans have more in common with indigenous people in Canada than I do with them. Okay, except for the blackness. Like, that's their home. America's their home. You know, them niggas got, you know, it's been a journey to be a citizen of that country, but that's their home. Oh my God. Long story short is I realized something Drake needed to realize, and that, dude, you're a visitor. Fais ton respect. Take off your shoes when you come in the house. You know what I mean? So, Drake, he is like, I'm black, and that's very common in black Canadians. When I say black Canadians, I mean there's a lot of black guys, black dudes, black people who are like, I'm adopting this black American culture like it's my own. Oh, no, I'm adopting it. And when I say black Canadians, I mean like even black people came who immigrated here from other countries, who parents immigrated here from other, or they immigrated here from other countries and ended up with a Canadian citizenship. A lot of us influenced, you know, after much music came out and we're like, yo, what's this hip hop? A lot of us were like, yo, I'm from Brooklyn. No, you're not. You're from Orleans. You know what I mean? It's okay. Drake fucked up two things. It's he culture vulture, and two, being black as a convenience. I'm not gonna be black when it comes to speaking against police brutality or people or problems that black people have. Fuck that. Ruin my rapping career? Fuck that. But I'm trying to fuck these white bitches. I'm not, fuck that. But I am going to use this blackness to use the N-word. To be able to criticize black people, to be able to gain acceptance, to have my white friends be cool, to be the cool black guy around my white friends. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be the guy who dances at the parties. Nah, fuck that, man. If you adopt the culture, you got to, like, if you plan on, you got to, like, put in on it. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Put in on it. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying I resent Drake for not putting in on it, but I am saying that I don't respect the cover. And final thought is the one thing that impressed me about Drake is the fact that he was a black Canadian. Initially, he was a black Canadian rapper who achieved the success that all of us thought was impossible. All of us growing up during the 90s thought was impossible. And that's making rap music that black Americans would have been like, yo, this shit's dope, that even black Americans accepted. Now, at first, we were like, we were convinced he was accepted by them. And then only to realize that, and Kendrick came out of the ashes and be like, nah, man, we don't fuck with that nigga. Return to sender. Yo, okay. Like I said in the last episode, yo, since this beef, since Cole apologized, I've been listening to more hip hop. I've been developing a bigger appreciation for old and new hip-hop. I've been like, oh, shit, I didn't have to discover this. Like, the love came back. I'm not saying because of what happened. I'm saying at the same time, I don't know. Magic happened, and I'm like, yeah. since the beef between Drake and Kendrick, I find myself appreciating Kendrick more and realizing how much, you know what? I went from, yeah, I just don't like Drake's music, to, yeah, I don't think I like Drake now. I don't like him, yeah, as the person he's presented us to be. I don't know him personally. I don't know, maybe he's like deep down inside, I never want to be this. Maybe, who knows? Again, benefit of the doubt. Maybe he's like me when I go to work. The person I'm at work and the person you hear on this podcast, completely two different person. Again, part of my healing journey. All right. This concludes today's episode. What is it? 1 hour, 39 minutes? Yeah, Baptist session, man. Baptist session. Okay, I'm gonna try to make my next episode. I don't know. I'm not going to lie to you. But, you know, the practice is to be, treat this like the Catholic priests do. Just get to the point. But hope you enjoyed it. Seriously, hope you enjoyed it. I appreciate your patience. I appreciate, especially if you enjoyed it, I appreciate you liking it. As always, check out, go to the website, shutuppodcast.com. One, to holler at me. It's the best way to get in contact with me. Fuck social media. Especially after Elon Musk dissed me with Twitter, man. Fuck that. Holler at me on shutuppodcast.com. You can find the show notes there. You can find all the links to everything, to some of the things I covered. And in addition to that, there's a section called Other Links with articles I read or just things that I think are cool, worth reading. All right. Okay. So Shut Up Podcast. And you can email me at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Oh, yeah. And the RSS feed to subscribe to the podcast is on the website. All right. Like I said, thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. This brother appreciated it. Thank you for... I said listen already, but respecting my safe space. And as always, please remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.